All right, good morning, church. Welcome to CCC Highland Square. My name is Brian. So good to be with you guys this morning. We're going to go ahead and take offerings. So deacons, come on down and you can serve us. Thanks for doing so. Hope you guys are enjoying this beautiful Sunday morning. Everybody enjoying it? Good drive in? Yeah, pretty good. All right. So hey, I've got some things that I need to tell you about, just actually by way of reminder on most of this stuff. But the first is ladies, women's ministry next Saturday. You guys are all hanging out at Tent City. You're bringing lunch in and just hanging out with a bunch of people that are currently homeless and in need of Jesus and hope like the rest of us. So you guys can go actually to the back table and Brock can connect you to the things that you need to get. We just have a potluck sign up. Just bring some food, bring a smiling face and just we're going to eat, and not we, I'm not going, it's women's ministry, but women eating and hanging out with people in Tent City. So that's happening next Saturday, 11 to 2, I believe that is. Also, the marriage intensive is coming up August 30th to September 2nd. We now have live signups. So married couples, it's been on your calendar checkoff, right, list, and so it should be all blocked off. Now you can actually go online and you can sign up. If you want, you could actually sign up at the back table today. You can pay today. We can take credit card now through the miracle of technology, check, cash, whatever. Or you could actually sign up today in the back and you can pay later on the website at home. It's up to you. But just know this is the second weekend-long marriage intensive that we have done. Jacob and Susan are leading this thing, have led it for us, and just incredible fruit have came out of the first one. And we just as an infusion of grace into your marriage, we just want to see like all married couples going on one of these and being a part of it. So the next one is August 30th to September 2nd, and information again at the back and online, but you can now sign up and actually reserve your spots, okay? And last thing is this. So you guys know I told you last week that we bought a house, right? Congratulations, church. We now own a house, which is really fun. 123 South Balch Street is the address of the place, and we just got in. I think Friday was the first day that we got in and started ripping stuff up, which is always the fun part of a house project. You're just tearing stuff out. So we did that. A couple surprises, some good, some bad, right, in the house. The house is for interns, two guys, two girls that are going to do a one-year-long internship with us, be a part of our church, do some things here, but then also just be missionally creative to love on and to live in the neighborhood and then just see what happens from there, right? Really excited about it. But some of the things that we found this week here, a good thing, I'll start with the bad. Bad news first, right? So we got into a leak and found out that the leak in the upstairs kitchen and bathroom actually isn't a small leak, but actually the whole drain pipe is rusted out. So found that, got into the walls, ripped the whole thing out. Vonterre actually right now is over there working on that, which is really cool. Now for some good news. Ready for good news? Okay, in every one of the bedrooms, after we excavated through several layers of flooring, right, it's like a geologic trail back through time as you dig through the layers of floor, we found nice oak hardwood flooring in all the bedrooms, which is really, that does my heart good. I'm a hardwood floor guy, so I just get excited about that. So more mysteries and surprises to be found, and you can actually help us find them. We've got two work days coming up. The first one is Monday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You don't have to come for the whole thing. Come for a half hour. Come for 2 hours. I don't care. Whatever your body can handle and whatever your schedule allows, just come hang out, rip some stuff out, carpet, tearing up nails. Monday from 10 to 6, and then also Wednesday from noon to 9 p.m. at 123 South Balch Street. This information is all on our Facebook Hands and Feet page. If you guys are Facebook users, we have a page called Hands and Feet, which is for people that are like a part of this church. You could go sign up there, become part of that group, and all this information is pasted there regularly. So excited about that. We'll give you updates on the house as they come. Okay, announcements done. You guys ready to dig in? Okay, let's dig in. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We continue in our series, Proceed with Caution, talking about technology, societal and cultural advancement, and how we just need to just move forward with, essentially the word is discernment, right? Just asking God, how would you have us navigate in these waters and trying to speak into some of the things that we see happening and going on around us culturally and technologically. So we'll be in Titus 2, excuse me, this morning, all right? So while you're there, we'll start reading here in a second. But I just want you to keep in mind, as we talk about culture and technology and things, we as a church, we know that God values creation. He's all about it. He's declared it to be very good. But that doesn't mean that everything that we do with it is very good. Right? So oftentimes, God has a value set that is very different than ours. And this morning, we're going to talk about one of the differences between what God values and what oftentimes the culture that we happen to live in values. And here's where we're going to go and kind of dissect this out a little bit, where God and our culture differ, right? God values substance over flash. Okay, we're talking about God. What does God value? God values substance over flash. And by flash, I mean polish. I mean things looking good and appearing good, smelling good. Not that those things are bad. Those things are actually creational good things. But in terms of like a value hierarchy, God values substance over flash. Whereas our culture values flash over substance. Okay? And we see it everywhere, to our collective loss. Where we go with the culture, we value the flashy thing at the expense of substance. Let me illustrate for you just with one concrete thing. You guys know that I love growing plants, particularly the edible kind of plants, fruits and berries and all kinds of things. And for anybody that loves to grow plants and loves to eat fruit, there's a skill in the gardening world called grafting. It's a valuable skill if you can learn how to do it. Essentially what it does is it allows you to grow all kinds of different fruit without having to go to the store and paying for it. And so I think it between 5 and 10 years ago, I embarked on a journey to learn how to graft fruit trees because I just wanted to do it. And I figured if I were surrounded by fruit trees, then I would be worshiping more regularly. It only makes sense if you were here last week. Okay, so, but I wanted to be surrounded by fruit trees, so I needed to learn to graft. So what do? I started reading books, I got online, I started reading articles. I went to YouTube, right, the great, vast library of knowledge that is YouTube, right, videos. And I started watching videos on grafting, how to graft fruit trees, and just clicking my way through, right, and Google or YouTube recommends which videos I should watch. And here's what I found regarding the videos that I watched on how to graft fruit trees. These videos were exceptionally well done. They were polished. Intros, outros, nailed it. Lighting, sound quality, rocked it, right? Everything about the video looked and sounded like it was just exceptionally and exceedingly well done in terms of its production quality. Right? The problem that I found, though, as I was watching these very flashed and polished videos, was that that the people who were doing the videos didn't know anything more than I did. It was clear to me that they had read the same basic articles about basic grafting techniques, and they were literally trying them out on video. And the reason why I know that is because 95% of the videos ended like this. I'm not joking. I don't know if it's this way in other categories, but it for sure was in grafting fruit trees. They go through this whole video of like they're grafting, they're showing you what to do. At the end of it, they say this: hey, this is my first time trying it. We'll see how it goes. I'll update you in the next video if this thing works. I'm like, tell me that in the beginning. Tell me in the beginning that this is the first time that you've grafted anything and you just happen to want to video it and put it out there in the world for everybody to see so that we can pool our ignorance together and waste our collective time, right? Tell me in advance that this is the first time that you've done this, right? But again and again, all the videos that YouTube was recommending was people that are just experimenting for the first time or didn't know anything more than I did, right? And through all of my trial and error, I had an abysmal success rate at grafting fruit trees. You want to know what my ratio was? Out of, I don't know, I'm guessing probably 60 grafting attempts that I made, 60 trees I tried to graft together, only two of them actually worked and are growing in my yard. right? 2 out of 60-ish is a horrible percentage, right? People that actually graft would make fun of me. Not that they should, but they could make fun of me because that means I am horrible at grafting fruit trees. That's what that percentage means, right? But it was in this past February that I finally found it. Finally. I was on YouTube just digging through, right? I'm done with the polish. I'm done with all the awesome, well-done videos. I'm just looking to try to find some different kind of video where somebody might actually know what they're talking about. And I found these two guys, and they were older men. And I watched this video, and it's like 10 seconds in, I'm guessing, because of what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, that these guys have a collective experience base of about 600 years of grafting fruit trees, right? These guys, and I know that's not possible, that was hyperbole, right? They've been around the block and they've grafted some stuff, trial and error, figuring out different techniques, different things. I found this video and these guys have been doing it for a lifetime, right? But let me tell you about the video. The quality of the video was horrible. Right? It was actually abysmal. The sound was muffled. You had to work really hard to hear it. The light in the video was dim. Intros, exits, non-existent. The flow of the video was pretty choppy. And the angles of the camera were such that you were trying to figure out, like, what? I'm not sure what I'm actually looking at right now. Right? So I don't know if we pivoted this way or pivoted that way, but things are getting funky on the screen, right? The video quality was anything but flash. Zero flash, zero polish. But here's what the video had going for it. It had substance, right? I was an abysmal failure at grafting fruit trees. And I knew, because I'd failed enough, I knew there were several things that I was missing. And as I watched this 7-minute video, at 4 points in the video, it was like, bam, bam, bam. Like these guys just in passing just spoke these things that were like keys that opened me into the world of grafting. Like they finally clicked what's going on, what I need to do, what I wasn't doing right, what I was doing wrong, right? They just laid out they dropped four bombs on me that they didn't even think were bombs because they've been doing it for forever. And I heard those lessons, I thought, yes, that's what I've been waiting for. And then so just like in March, I bought 50, too much information for you, 50 rootstocks. And then I got 50 scions of fruit trees on my property, and I attempted to graft 50 trees based upon the knowledge that these guys had given me in this very low quality but high substance video. Now, can I tell you what my success rate is on the 50 trees that I grafted? Anybody curious? Anybody want to know? Huh? 10? So, 50 out of 50! It's incredible, right? Now, why am I 50 out of 50? Why? Because I'm a good grafter? No, I'm an abysmal grafter. My experience base is horrible. I'm 50. This is one of them right here. Right? I just want to show it off. And actually, as a side note, this is African amaranth from some of our African immigrants. This is really cool, right? But right here is I'm proving to you that my grafts are, I got 50 of these things, which is awesome. Why? Because I dug, I labored, I searched. Beyond the YouTube logarithm that wants to put the awesome flashy videos in front of me, I dug deep and somehow find these two older guys that have been around the block and been grafting for their entire lifetime who did this low quality video that was filled with incredible information. That's why I'm 50 out of 50, right? If those two guys do not do that low quality video that I stumble upon because I'm searching for it, I don't have 50 fruit trees in my property. The world is worse. Because those guys didn't put their craft out there for me to learn and to pull from, right? So, essentially, here's what I'm gonna boil this down to. On the flashy videos that I watched that were zero help to me, tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of views. As you can see, right? There's that little clicker right there. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of views. On the video of the two older guys, where there's no flash and no polish, negative 15 views. Again, that's hyperbole, right? I'm just saying, like in YouTube, when you start watching a video, the metric is in the first 10 seconds, one out of all five people stop watching the video. Like nobody watched this video. Everybody's watching the polished ones, learning nothing, but the one where the breakthroughs are there. Nobody has access to it. So here's my conclusion on the matter, right? In the one specific slice of creational reality here, but I think it bears out. Here's my conclusion, that everyone learning how to graft fruit trees is watching the wrong videos. Why? Because we as a culture value flash over substance. To our collective loss, right? Say it again. To our collective loss, we value flash over substance. Now, there's 15 different directions that we can go with this. There's only one that we have time for. Here's where we're going to go with the rest of our time. This morning, I believe that there is, not I believe, this is what the scriptures say. There is a connection between substance in a human person and oftentimes the amount of years that they have lived. There's an uncanny connection between a person of substance. A person of substance is regularly someone who has been around the block many times. Been around. They've lived a long time. It does not mean that every older person is a person of substance. That is not true. But oftentimes there's a correlation between living and learning and getting beat up and falling on your face and learning things over time. There's a connection between the substance of a human person and age, right? And we see that in the scriptures. And I think we need to just be mindful of that, and we're going to talk about some of these things this morning in Titus chapter 2. Okay, so you should be in Titus chapter 2, and we're going to kind of lean into God's heart, lean out of culture, lean into God's heart, and just learn some things. Here we go. Titus 2, starting in verse 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to Titus, who is pastoring a church in Cyprus. It's an island in the Mediterranean, and here Paul is just laying some things out for Titus, the pastor. Paul says this, chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, "But as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine." Right? Now, Jesus wants to see sound doctrine in, like being spoken over and permeating in his people. Here's where we're going to start with the permeation of sound doctrine into the church. Verse 2, older men. Okay, Paul says, Titus, address the older men first. We want sound doctrine, sound teaching to permeate in the culture and vibe of this church that you are leading. Where do we start? Paul says, older men. Older means just more advanced in years. Literally, that's what it means. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Right? Verse 3, he says, older women, right? Talking about how to get sound doctrine, sound teaching into the church. Where do we start? Older men, older women, more advanced in years, women, likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Okay? So the priority, Paul says, start with the older folks in your church, right? Because there's something special about them. And then he talks about, right, to older people in the church. He says, Titus, tell them this is how they're supposed to be. This is what it looks like for them to be people of substance in their years following Jesus, right, as influencers in the church. Be these kinds of people. And the idea is, if the older people in your church, in your body of Jesus community, if they are not this way, the way that Paul is laying it out, then your church is in big trouble. Right? There's going to be problems all over the place if your older people are not this, okay? So older people, be this way. Now here's what you're supposed to do. Second half of verse 3. They, primarily speaking here of older women, but I think this translates to the older men too, right? But the older, the more advanced in years people, they who are this way, now here's what they're supposed to do. They are to teach what is good, and so train the who? The young, less advanced in years, more like immature, younger, right? And teach the young women to dot, dot, dot. Okay? So what this says is that essentially there is a responsibility that the older generations have to the younger generations to teach and to train and to raise and to lift and to help mature them in the community of God's people. Does that make sense? There's a responsibility that the older generation has to the younger. Now, last week, right, we talked about this. One of the many things is that a mountain is a pretty incredible thing, but it's lacking something if a human being is not there to observe it and to say, God, you are awesome because of this. Worship around the mountain only happens when a person is there, which is why God wants and needs people everywhere, because God wants worship to be everywhere, right? So a mountain is missing something when a person is not there to translate its grandeur into worship and to take that to the Lord, right? In the same way, an older person who's in Jesus, who does not have around them in their orbit or constellation younger people, is significantly missing something, right? I would use the word, it would be tragic. If I understand Titus chapter 2 and what Paul says about elders and Timothy, it would be tragic if an older generation person in Jesus has no one around them or close to them in close relational proximity who is younger than them, who they are lifting and training and teaching and discipling and helping to mature. Tragedy, right? I'm not overstating that. It just is that way. Several years ago now, a friend of mine who's a little bit older, his parents, who lived in Akron and was around his kids, their grandkids, decided that they were going to move from Akron to a retirement community in Florida. And my friend was talking just about how sad he was, and even just to be candid, a bit disappointed that his family, his parents, were going to move to a retirement community and leave essentially the influence and relationship that they would have in an ongoing manner with their grandkids. He was saddened by it. And then he went on to describe what the retirement community was like, and he was a little bit frustrated, so it came out a little bit jaded, right? Came out a little sideways. But he described to me what this retirement community in Florida is like. It is a city of 50,000 people who are 62 years and up, right? You can't purchase property in this geographic place unless you are at least 62 and a half, something like that. In addition to that, there are a whole bunch of rules that govern strictly and stringently how often kids, grandkids, and even like their immediate next generation down kids are allowed to come visit. Like, very stringent. Kids can come for like a day, maybe for a weekend, but no extended stays for grandkids. Why? Because we want to maintain the integrity of this being a retirement community. Don't want any crying babies or annoying toddlers or, right? We don't want any of that stuff to mess with the mojo of the retirement community. So it was a sprawling city of 50,000 retirees where there's restaurants and golf courses and shops and supermarkets and coffee houses, right? It was designed for older retired people. And to that, I say, and again, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. I'm just trying to speak from a Titus 2 perspective. That retirement community, through the lens of Jesus, is a tragedy. Because it's essentially saying, we want to get all these older people together, and we want to make life perfectly tailored to you, and we're going to keep all the younger people away. But the question is, what about the younger people? What are they supposed to do without you? Who's going to train them up? Who's going to lead them? Who's going to speak wisdom into their life, right? It's this crazy, weird, modern fabrication of a false community, right? I'm not saying don't live in a retirement community, but man, you better be darn sure that you're not segmenting yourself out from the next generation, because then, right, Titus 2 can't happen, and Jesus isn't super pleased about that, right? So the implied message to the older generation is, in Titus 2, is that you have a responsibility to train up the next generation. Okay, there's also an implied message here to the young people. And the implied message to young people is that it is equally tragic for a young person not to have in their relational sphere older people who are in Jesus, who they trust and respect, who are speaking into their lives, and who they are listening to, right? It is equally a problem on the other side. So older people have a responsibility to the younger, and younger people need to have older people in their lives, okay? Now, young people. Here's what's true, and I don't know, you've only lived in a little part of human history, so I don't know if you're aware of this, but you uniquely live in an era of human history where you have more information available to you than any human beings have ever had available to them at any point ever. At the end of your finger, you can find literally any kind of information that you want to find. You are surrounded by and swimming in a sea of data, right? It is everywhere all around us. Now, we need to be cautious about that. Cautious, let's think about this. Knowledge is a great thing. The availability of knowledge is awesome. I'm so glad that I can click on a video and learn how to do this, right? I'm all for that. But what we have to recognize, or if you're a younger person, is that older people have something that this available knowledge is in desperate need of. And that is experience. Younger people, the older people among us have sometimes the same knowledge base, but they've been able to couple it with experience over years, which does something to the information in you. Young people, you need to be around older people who have taken knowledge and who have metabolized it over years. Metabolized, what does that mean? When you eat food, you swallow it. Your body goes about the process of breaking down that food so that it can actually become a literal part of your physical self, right? Whatever you have for lunch today, whatever you had for breakfast, if you had breakfast, your body is actively right now breaking that thing down into its sub-nutrient components, and it is ingesting it into your body, taking it to the places where it needs to be so that you can use it. It is becoming a literal part of you in the miracle of transubstantiation, right? Your body is absorbing it, and it is becoming part of you. Now, regarding knowledge, older folks have walked through the fiery crucible of life. And as they have done that, they have learned some things, not just about information, but the information has been ingested, it has been churned, it has been tried, it has been tested. They've fallen on their faces, they've had successes, they've learned things beyond the data as they have ingested certain things, right? And it's become a literal part of them. It's what kind of wisdom is. It's like knowledge. When knowledge becomes a part of us, older people have had the time to make that a reality. And so younger people, we need older people around us that have insight into things at a level where they have metabolized and ingested, right? So the older and the younger, that's God's design coming together, older training up the younger. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time dropping down some challenges for all of us. Are you guys ready for some challenges? I don't know if you knew you were getting challenged this morning, but it's coming. You better be ready. Okay, in the I'm going to challenge two different groups. I want to challenge the older folks among us, and I also want to challenge the younger folks among us, and we need to hear different things depending on where we are, and it's up to you to discern which category you go in. I don't want to break anybody down. That's not going to go well for me if I have to break you down, okay? So you just use your own discernment and figure out where you go, okay? Now, who do we start with? Anytime we're going to start challenging out there, where do we start, younger or older? Well, we start with the older because that's where Paul starts, okay? Because the priority's on you, okay? Feel the weight. Feel the burden, okay? Older folks, here's some challenges for you. First and foremost, we already talked about this, but just by way of reminder, because it's so clear because of how Paul lays it out. Older folks, here's your challenge. Be people of substance first, and then seek influence second. That's how Paul breaks it down. He says, Titus, teach the older people to be this, that they would walk as these kinds of people. Like, here's who they are. Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Become these people. And then, after that, then train, then have influence, then raise up and build into the next generation, right? So let's just get that right, right? It's awesome to pursue influence, but pursue being a person in Jesus of substance first, and then pursue being a person of influence with the younger people around you. All right, older folks, challenge number two. Here it is. Don't be selfish. Right? Older people, don't be selfish. By that I mean, have a heart in you to pass on what you have learned through the decades. Don't see the next generation as competition to be resisted, but see them in your heart as children to be raised up and unleashed, right? It's a very different way of seeing the next generations. Now, I want to be candid for a second, because oftentimes Paul in his letters is candid. I don't often do this because it's, I need to learn as a pastor how to navigate this, but I want to get real specific about our church for a second. I want to go back 4.5 years. When Megan and I came to this church 4.5 years ago, we came in here new. It was a small, fledgling church at the time. And when we came in, we weren't doing very much. I would preach like once every 2 months, and I was kind of like just learning about the church and kind of getting my bearings. That was how I was brought in, very slow. And about 6 months in, as we were here, I don't know, because we're younger, sometimes like just younger people tend to just, oh, they're on staff, they look like me, I'll come here, right? So between 5 and 10 younger people started coming to our church. And then I started to hear some rumbles through the grapevine from some people that liked me. And they said, hey, Brian, here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that there are some people at this church right now who are upset, angry, and scared because we're getting too young. I don't know how your brain works. Here's how mine works. When somebody says something to me that is totally outside of the realm of what I think makes any kind of sense, my brain has a hard time making sense of it. And it's like I shake it off and I move on to the next thing. Like if you came to me and said, Brian, like we're leaving the church today, you say, hey, Brian, just wanted to let you know, have a good week. And did you know that the moon is made of blue cheese, right? If you said that to me and you could fully believe it, that would make such little sense to me that my brain wouldn't be able to engage you in that conversation because it's so out there, right? And so when that person said to me, Brian, there's some people here who are angry and upset and nervous because we're getting too young, that so flew in the face of my understanding about how churches should be that I didn't know how to navigate that conversation. It was like I just shook it off. And I didn't even talk about it. And then it was like later at night, as my head hits the pillow, I'm like, that person said that there's people at our church that are mad because younger people are coming. That it started to settle in, but then it was so absurd to me. Right now, most of those people have moved on and they're somewhere else, probably at the retirement village in Florida. I don't know, right? They're probably not here now. But older people, please don't be selfish. Please don't see the next generation as competition to be resisted, but see them as children to be raised. That's Titus 2, baby. That's the way he lays it out. That's what your heart is supposed to be. And I pray that's my heart when I get to be advanced in years, right? I'm trusting the Lord will do that. All right, challenge to older folks. Here's the next challenge. Take some relational risks with younger people. Take some relational risks. Right? There's a reason why the older guys doing the low-quality YouTube video, they weren't finding a massive wide audience because they weren't registering in the polish category, right? They weren't out there. They're not on Instagram. You're not on all the... I'm not on those things either. I'm with you, right? But you're not out there and connected in all the technological ways. But what you're going to have to do as an older person is you're going to have to find a way to get around some younger people and to bridge the relational gap with them. You might have to take some risks. There's a couple, I didn't know they were going to, I thought they were going to be at the 9 o'clock, but there's a couple here named Tom and Julie who are exceptional at this. From the time Megan and I got here, they have been a risky older generational, can I say that? Older generational? Tom doesn't like that. They're a risky older generational couple who have proactively sought out younger couples, younger families, younger people to take them out to lunch, to go to dinner, to go to the concert, to hang out. And like they put themselves out there because younger people can always say, who are you? I don't want to hang out with you, right? It's taking a risk. It's putting some of yourself out there. And this really cool thing has happened, right? Because they have bridged the relational divide. One of the cool things is that the dolls, Tom and Julie, took a risk with Kemp and Stacy Boyd and their family. Kemp will be up here in a few minutes closing us out. Right, and over just the last couple of years, because they took a risk, and the Boyds and the dolls, Tom and Julie, have been hanging out, this really cool dynamic has emerged where the Boyds, who don't have any local grandparents, they're all like elsewhere, that Tom and Julie have kind of like moved in and become like surrogate grandparents to them, right? They're hanging out, they're eating together, the kids know them, they babysit. This really cool relationship has happened, not because Kemp and Stacy found them, but because Tom and Julie found the next generation down. They took a relational risk. So cool. So now, not all of you are going to be as risky relationally. For some of you, a risk might be this, right? That 3 weeks from now, this is in the back of your mind, and the Spirit of God during worship says, hey, you need to just go shake hands and say hi to that younger person, right? And that might be a stretch for you. But that's okay. Take that risk. That risk is sufficient if that's your risk tolerance level. But whatever God puts in front of you, just know that you might have to step out there a little bit to bridge that relational gap. Okay, last challenge for the older folk generation. Be hospitable. Be hospitality-minded with the next generation, right? It's interesting in Timothy where Paul lays out the qualifications for an elder. Right, there's all these things. The elder has to be this, has to be this, has to be this. One of the qualifications for an elder, and an elder is like a high-level leader, influencer in the body of God's people, right? Paul says an elder must be hospitable. And the reason is, it's because God wants his church to be a place of hospitality where we really love each other, right? Where we're not annoying inconveniences to each other, but we want to be together relationally, right? And the only way the church can develop a culture of hospitality is if its high-level leaders are hospitable people. So Paul says, don't entertain anyone to be in the position of high-level influence unless they are hospitable, because the church being hospitable is so important, right? Don't let anybody who's not that be that, right? Hospitality. Make young people feel welcome in your presence, right? Let them know that you love them and want them actually here and around you, right? Let me explain hospitality in just a couple illustrations here. Here's what I mean by that. Before Megan and I got engaged, right? Not before we got married, but before we got engaged, I knew that this was such a significantly weighty decision that I needed to get some other eyes on this thing. And I knew Titus too. I knew that I needed to get some older generation eyes on it. I had lots of friends my own age that would speak into that, and I listened to them. But I knew I needed to get some experience and some insight from people who have ingested relationships and marriage and navigated it for decades, not just dated somebody for 6 months like me and we're getting married, right? And so here's what I did. I called the guy who mentored me in college, who's older than me, and I called him, and I hadn't been in geographic proximity with him for probably 3 or 4 years. Actually, no, like 5 or 6 years. But I called him. I said, John, how you doing? Great to talk to you. Here's what I need. I need to bring Megan down to Dayton, and we need to spend a day with you and your wife. I need you to see her. I need you to hear us. I need you to get to know us together. And at the end of the day, I need you to speak into this thing, because I need your wisdom on this, right? Because he's a wise individual who has ingested Jesus for years, been around the block with marriage, all that stuff. And so Megan and I said, yes, hospitality. Brian, come on down. We want to hang out. So we drove down to Dayton, spent a whole day with them, went to the park, hung out here, came back, ate with them. And at the end of that day, after hanging out with us, I pulled him aside. I pulled John aside. I got choked up at 9 o'clock too. Man, here we go. I pulled him aside. I said, John, you got to tell me the truth right now. What did you see? What insight do you have? What do I need to see that I'm not seeing that you see? Because you're here and I'm here, right? And I just wanted to listen. He spoke into that. And it was thumbs up for Megan, which is good. Otherwise, Megan and I wouldn't be together, right? Next thing I did, that wasn't enough. I need some more older person input. There's an older couple, probably in their mid to late 60s, who I really respected. And I said to them, would you guys be willing to do 3 sessions of pre-engagement counseling with Megan and I? We want to sit down with you. We want you to hear us, see us. and speak into this thing. And we did, right? They were hospitable with us. They opened their home. We came and we sat on their couch, right? They went, they just started asking us a bunch of questions. And then like through those three sessions, right? Here's the thing. Three or four things that clicked, unlocked the door for me to learn grafting. In that pre-engagement session with that older couple, there was one moment where the older guy just dropped a bomb on us. And it was a beautiful bomb. And it literally unlocked, it opened the door for Megan and I to move into an area relationally that we had not been able to go on our own. We heard him, we listened to him, it landed on us, and it propelled us forward. Without him saying that thing in that session, I don't know that Megan and I would be married. I don't know that we would have five beautiful kids. I don't know. I'd probably be in a retirement community in Florida right now. I don't know where I'd be, right? But I'd be in a different place. But he is an older man, older woman, unlocked something for us. They were hospitable to open their home, open their lives. We weren't an inconvenience to them. So again, here's the challenge, older folks, be hospitable, right? Be willing to pour yourself out for the next generation. All right, now, young people, I'm gonna drop some challenges on y'all. You ready? You guys don't have pen and paper. You got your phone out? Yeah? Young people, you got your phone. Here we go. Young people, just know this. You need to beware that you've been raised in a culture that values polish over substance. Know that that's how you've been raised, but that is not right. And it is not necessarily good, right? And you need to beware. For example, you need to beware of getting your dating advice from Hitch. You guys remember that movie? Yeah? Hitch? Will Smith, young, cool guy. I know it's an old movie. I'm dating myself. Young, cool guy who's helping people date, right? Beware of getting dating advice from Hitch, but instead lean into some of the older folks around us who really have some substance and some real things that have been tied, true, and tested to pour into us, okay? Here's the next thing. Young people, resist the urge to segment yourselves demographically, okay? Resist the urge to segment yourselves out demographically. I've told you guys the story of the church that caters to the 23-year-old single male. There's a church in the Akron area that with their music and with their preaching and with the lights and the aesthetic, with all the things, the website, publications, everything they do is geared to the 23-year-old male. Now, here's the deal. Be aware of this, 23-year-old males, that if you walk into that church, you are going to feel like this is your home because everything is designed for you. Everything is going to land where it's supposed to land culturally for you, right? But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be in that kind of an environment. Resist the urge to just get in a place where there's other young people and where you feel like everything is catered to you because you can't afford to not be around older people, right? You can't afford it. Next challenge for young people. Young people, recognize this, that passion, of which many of you young people have a whole lot of, passion can be good, it can also be bad. Passion can be good, passion can be bad. Proverbs 19:2 says this, zeal without knowledge is a bad thing, right? It's a Brian paraphrased version of Proverbs 19:2. Zeal without knowledge is a bad thing, right? Or to be hasty and miss the way. Here's a pattern that I see in young people, and I saw it in myself as a young person. The pattern that I see is that oftentimes young people will read a book or watch a video or be exposed to something out there and they get super passionate about it. And because they're more passionate about it than anybody else around them, and because they watched one video or read one book or read one article, they feel as if they are the expert on the subject. Right? It's like now you're a PhD in this thing and you've been living this thing out for 50 years, right? That's the assumption that a young person can have in the high passion. But young people, here's what you need to know, that you need desperately to have older people around you to help really and truly inform that passion. Not to dim it, not to mute it, not to subdue it, No, but to help inform it so that your zeal can be used constructively to actually build the kinds of things that God wants to build. Okay? So get around some older people who can help inform and season and mature you in the areas that you are passionate about. Recognize that you don't have it all figured out, because you don't, okay? Last thing for young people, last challenge. You guys need to ask questions. Ask a lot of questions. Remember, I was talking to my oldest daughter when she was 5. It was such a profound conversation. I still remember it 7 years ago. She asked a lot of questions, and at one point, as a dad, I was just a little bit annoyed, right? Just truth telling, okay? And she was just berating me with questions, and I said, "Evie, wow, you ask a whole bunch of questions, girl." And without skipping a beat, she looked back at me and said, "Well, Dad, because it's because I'm curious about lots of things." I'm like, wow. She just dropped the mic on me, right? Here's the thing. Young people, you need to ask questions. But if you don't have any questions, no older person can answer a question you don't have. If you are not curious about something, there's nothing that an older person can say to you that will actually land on you in a way that it should land on you. Or maybe put it this way. Young people, if you are doing very little with your life right now, right? If you're pretty much full-time playing video games, if you're part-time working and like most of the time hanging out and getting takeout from wherever you get takeout from, if that's your life, if that's the sum total of the daring things that you're doing, my guess is you don't have any real questions that are welling up inside of you, right? Because there's nothing that is provoking any questions inside of you, which means the older people in here have nothing to give you because you're not looking for anything. But if younger people, if you will actually start to live a courageous life, if you will seek Jesus, and if you will try to figure out what he's uniquely made you to do in all the highways and byways of life that he puts you in, you will start putting yourself out there, trying things, daring greatly to do things, and you will put yourself out on a ledge where you realize, wow, I'm out here, I need some help. I've got some questions now, right? Now you really need some help, and if you take those questions, because you really have them, and if you get in the proximity of an older person and say, "Hey, I just want to let you know, I'm doing this thing. I need some help. Here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm trying to figure out." The older people around you now have a context in which the things that they say can actually make sense to you, and you will hear that and say, "Wow, right? I failed 60 times. And then the older guys on the bad video said, bam, 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 bam. I'm like, yes. Why did I know that that was the answer? Because I had the question, right? Young people, you've got to start having some questions because you're doing some things, and then you've got to take that to the people who are older among us and also risk relationally to hear from and to receive from them. Okay, I hope you guys all handle that okay. Anybody feel beat up? My intent is not to beat anybody up. But what it is, my hope is that Titus 2 would become a part of who we are, that we would ingest this as a church and become this, right? So if you're pumped about this, older, younger, older pouring into the younger, right? If you're all about that right now, here's what I want to say to you. We don't have a program for you to go sign up for. We are not launching a new initiative, the Titus 2 initiative, right? We're not doing a new event just to do the Titus 2 thing. We don't want to do that. If we had to do an event, an initiative, a program for everything in here, we'd be in big trouble. Logistically, ain't gonna work, right? So here's what I wanna say. I want this to become a value of ours that permeates everything that we already do, right? You see the worship team. These guys hang out. It's older and younger, and it's awesome, right? We wanna see this in women's ministry, and we do. We wanna see this in men's ministry. When we're swinging hammers over at the Bald Street House, we wanna see older and younger coming together because we wanna come together, right? We wanna see this infused in all of the things that we do, which means we have to care about it. And we should, because we know the one who put it out there for us. He cares about it. Okay, I'm done. Band, come on up. I'm going to pray for us as they come up, and let's ask the Lord to infuse this in us by his Spirit as only he can. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you allow us to be a multi-generational church that honors you in how we relate to each other. Father, I pray that your Spirit would move in a powerful way among us so that we would be an intergenerational church where the older are pouring themselves out for the sake of raising up and lifting and training up the next generation. And Father, I pray that as they do that, that you would give them joy. And Father, that the younger generations would benefit from that wisdom that they're receiving. And Father, I pray also that the younger generations among us that have energy and passion and zeal, Father, that the older among us would benefit from that, that the older among us would be turbocharged because of all the energy that you have put and flooded into their hearts. And Father, as we bring this together, as you bring us together, I pray that you would march us forward as a zealous, passionate, yet also mature and well-informed and seasoned people so that we can do Proverbs 19:2, have zeal with knowledge that's actually working itself out in this city. Father, help us to be these people. Lead us into that place as only you can. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.